Hi, it's Jim Lafferty.
Oh, thanks for calling me back.
Sure.
I just want to get the Lawyers Guild's reaction to the news that's come from NBC News.
Yeah.
That the Pentagon spied on this year's anti-war protest in Hollywood.
That's right.
And specifically, the statement reads, one incident included in the database is a large anti-war protest at Hollywood and Vine in Los Angeles last March that included effigies of President Bush and anti-war protest banners. I understand that that was an answer-initiated protest.
It was. I actually held the permit for it. I mean, but that's not unusual with some of these larger protests because I work with the groups. I often take the permit out in my name as well as the name of the groups because I'm interfacing with the police. But that's correct. It was an answer-initiated anti-war protest.
And what is your reaction to this news?
Well, I must say I'm not surprised. Ever since the Patriot Act, all of the old prohibitions that Congress had put in place against government spying under the old COINTEL programs of the 60s, 70s, and 80s had been set aside, and it was open season again on this kind of spying and infiltration. I found this particular notation to be odd in that it seemed to be surprised that at an anti-war demonstration there might be effigies of George Bush and anti-war banners, where of course that's what we have. That's what the anti-war movement is all about. And it was peaceful, it was legal, it was open to the public. But the fact that the government should be keeping track of it, which suggests that they're also infiltrating or trying to infiltrate groups. We know from the 70s that they not only infiltrated groups, but often tried to disrupt the groups or lead them astray. They weren't content with simply filing their reports. And so it's very alarming. The civil rights, civil liberties community all over this country is very alarmed by it. And it's further evidence of the fact that our civil liberties and our constitutional rights have been severely eroded post 9/11.
Do you think that there's any coincidence that this would come out a couple days before the renewal of the Patriot Act?
Well, I don't know. I think its timing is good, and I'm glad the press released it when they did. If it goes some distance towards putting some backbone into the Senate, which now has to consider the Republican version, which just passed yesterday in the House for the renewal of the 14 contested provisions, and there are lots of other provisions that should have been contested, then I suppose it may be of some help. Whether NBC had this report for a while and decided to release it now or not, I don't know, and I don't frankly know how NBC got a hold of the DOD document.
Do you think that the Pentagon violated any laws in this program?
Well, that, of course, we don't know yet. More needs to be discovered. It's our contention, the Lawyers Guild's contention, that the Patriot Act itself, to the extent that it allows for surveillance and spying and counterintelligence work on otherwise public lawful protest activities, is itself a violation of the First Amendment and other laws of the United States. The Patriot Act, of course, suggests that that's not the case, which is why the Patriot Act needs to be opposed. The deeper question that I think you're asking is whether or not, in addition to simply having somebody with a camera or a tape recorder at a demonstration, are they doing more than that? Are they, as they did in the 70s and 80s, and we believe they are, infiltrating groups? I can tell you, for example, that at that very demonstration, I had conversations with the police afterwards who acknowledged that they had a number, here in the LAPD, had a number of undercover police officers in the march and at the rally. Now, whether the FBI did as well, I don't know, but that's what makes all of this doubly ominous, is the fact that this may well be the tip of the iceberg, that they aren't simply taking pictures, which any private citizen could have done, and making a report to government, which is ominous enough, but are in fact also working, as they did, as I say, under the old COINTEL programs, to disrupt the activities of these groups.
Yeah.
Create mischief.
Right. The provocateur.
The provocateur, exactly.
What do you know anything, I'm sure there's probably a gray area, about the legal rights that the police might have in terms of undercover agents for legitimate crowd control concerns as opposed to spying?
Well, it is a gray area, and if you think about it, as I say, to the extent that somebody comes to a demonstration, be they a private citizen interested in participating in it, a private citizen interested in watching the parade go by, or I suppose a police officer watching to see whether or not any crimes are committed, it's probably that much of it is probably legal. Where it crosses the line is, as I say, is where, I mean, for example, in some cases, and I'm thinking of a demonstration now around, it was an environmental conference that took place, I'm embarrassed to say I can't remember the date, it was a couple of years ago, and it took place down in San Diego. There was a demonstration in which we observed some men dressed as though they were black bloc anarchists. Then, finally, when the thing was over, we followed them. They stuck around the corner. They got into a police car. They took off their outer clothing. They were police officers. And off they went. And at that same demonstration, there had been some quote-unquote black bloc anarchists trying to encourage the crowd to engage in illegal activities. To the extent that any of those individuals, and I can't say for a fact that they were part of that effort, they were then trying to disrupt and draw an otherwise peaceful demonstration into illegal action. And that, of course, is definitely crossing the line. But if an event is happening in public, I suppose anyone, including the police, have a right to stand there and take pictures of it.
Right. So what should activists do that might be frightened or concerned about this?
Well, I think that's the key question. You know, one reason why we have this concept of chilling First Amendment rights, in other words, where courts say that even if you haven't necessarily prohibited somebody from demonstrating or prohibited somebody from speaking, if you put such a police presence in place that you frighten people away. In other words, it shouldn't have to be only the bravest that are willing to take to the streets and peacefully protest their government's policies, that you've then chilled their First Amendment rights, if you will. And I think that when you have large, ominous-looking, Darth Vader-like cops standing around demonstration, that chills someone's rights. When the word gets out that the police are monitoring or the FBI is monitoring a demonstration, perhaps taking down license plates and names of speakers and photographs and so forth, that tends to intimidate people into perhaps not going. So the first thing I would hope is that people would not be intimidated. I mean, that people would continue to exercise their rights. Otherwise, we do indeed lose them, and to not allow those activities by the government, which I think are indeed designed to quiet protest against this administration, not allow them to succeed. And it's the job of lawyers, like the lawyers in the Lawyers Guild or the ACLU or other groups, to when the police clearly have stepped over the line, bring lawsuits. And in the case of this DOD directive, the Lawyers Guild nationally, the ACLU and others are already trying to get to the bottom of it. I don't know all the details of that yet, to find out whether or not this is, as I say, just some police officer or FBI agent standing on the side of the street with a camera making ridiculous notes about a peace march, or whether more is involved in that. So we have to be vigilant at both ends, but and first and foremost, we have to not allow ourselves to be intimidated by scare tactics.
If an activist thinks that they're being spied on or monitored, what should they do?
Well, that's a very broad question, obviously. If somebody is at an anti-war demonstration and notices the police taking pictures, they're not really being spied on. If somebody believes their phone is being tapped, if their mail is being tampered with, they should obviously contact an attorney, see if the attorney can identify. We just recently had an experience where someone discovered a tracking devices that you can use to get yourself around town.
Mm-hmm.
They found one underneath their car, and we've now determined that the FBI put it underneath their car.
Really?
And so we're in the process of trying to determine why that happened. Is this person a target of the investigation? If the FBI has acknowledged the device is theirs, and so far we're sort of at a standoff beyond that point, but at this point the device is safely tucked away. The FBI acknowledges they put it there and so far hasn't told us why. So, you know, if you have any kind of concrete reason to believe, part of the problem post 9/11, very frankly, is that a lot of political activists have become a bit paranoid, not necessarily in the clinical sense, but in the broader use of that term, because they do know that this kind of spying activity and infiltration of groups is going on, and they're often suspicious, sometimes rightly so, sometimes not.
if they're feeling paranoid or if they're feeling intimidated and they want to try to, you know, verify that they're under surveillance or not.
Well, that's part of the damnable problem of it. It's very difficult because we have roving wiretaps now. You can't possibly check every phone that you're about to use to know whether or not, you know, that wiretap has followed you to that payphone or to that restaurant or to that friend's house. In the old days, if you thought your phone was tapped, you could hire some engineering-type fellow, come in and scan your house and try to remove the device and hope that maybe it didn't get put back too quickly. But the fact of the matter is, individual action against government spying is always the toughest way to go. A number of political parties have found that when they've taken years suing the government. I'm thinking of the big lawsuit that the Socialist Workers Party brought many years ago under the COINTEL program. I don't know, it took them 10, 15 years to finally win that case. So that's why I say that rather than individuals trying to, if you're law-abiding, if you're doing what you should be doing, your best defense, I think, is to join with others and to continue to be a part of that women's rights movement, environmental rights movement, anti-war movement, because it's only by standing up to such measures that, in a sense, you defeat their purpose. Because if you're engaged in lawful activity, after all, the fact that somebody is spying on you, while reprehensible and while, I believe, illegal, doesn't have to prevent you from doing it, as I say, and can't so long as you continue with others, and there's strength in numbers here, to exercise those rights. That's the best thing you can do, is to exercise the right and not be intimidated, because in this day of high technology, the notion that you're going to be able to, I mean, I'm assuming in talking to you right now that my phone is tapped here at the National Lawyers Guild, and the answer folks assume that their phone is tapped, but I don't engage in illegal discussions over this phone, so as reprehensible as it is, I don't hesitate to continue to talk to you or anyone else about how I feel about this matter, and I think that's the best thing we can all do. I don't think there are a lot of practical solutions for the individual who might feel either because they're a bit paranoid about it or because they're right. If someone comes up with concrete evidence as to this individual with the device under their car, well, then, of course, they should consult an attorney.
Right. So I guess to summarize, you're saying that activists should just assume that what they're doing is transparent to the government and that there is no secure form of communication that they could...
Exactly right. I think you should be careful, and you should assume there's no... I think you should be wary of people who suddenly are involved in your organization who seem to have some off-the-wall ideas and who seem to have come from nowhere. I mean, I think that you should keep the eye on the ball and keep protesting and doing it in a way which is effective. And if you're engaging in acts of civil disobedience, be prepared to do that in as self-protective a way as you can with the advice of lawyers and what have you. We do that here at the Lawyers Guild all the time. But do your actions collectively, thoughtfully, and boldly.
Well, thank you very much for the advice.
No, I appreciate your interest in this.
And I hope that that more comes out. A lot of people feel that this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, I think that's it. I think we'll know more. Hopefully we'll know more. Now, of course, we don't have a Congress that's very interested in finding these things out. But there are a number of agencies, I say our own and others, that are now trying to find out even more about this. There'll be subpoenas filed, lawsuits filed, no doubt. And so stay tuned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.